Why don't you take your Bibles and go to Numbers, chapter 13. What I would like to share with you this morning is faith or fear. Choose. You choose. And this is a condition that each and every person has. It's a human condition. And you make the choice. I want to read this section here. In Romans 13, after Israel came out of Egypt, they had come to this place where just they got 40 days. They're going to send out spies into the promised land to look at the land. And let's read it here. In Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel, of the tribes of their fathers, shall you send men, every one of them a ruler among them. God didn't send just anybody. He sent the men that were responsible for each tribe. He sent the rulers of those tribes. And verse 17, And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way, southward, and go unto the mountains, and see the land, what it is. And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and that the land, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be, whether that they dwell in, whether it tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of a good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. He tells them specifically what he wants them to find out, what he wants them to look at, and bring back evidence of the fruit of this land. Bring it back. You know, not just a normal reconnaissance of where you're going, you know, mountains, strongholds, people live in tents, this, that, and the other thing. Not too difficult, especially for people who live in at that particular time. And they go out and they spy out the land. And it says, and when they came, now after they come back, right? Verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came unto the land whither thou didst send us. And surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit thereof. They had chopped off a grape, you know, a thing of grapes. We got some nice grapes on the back. But they chopped off one of those things of grapes. They had to put it between a pole between two men. What are they, watermelons? I mean, that's what you kind of think. You know, you go to the store. What does it take to have two men in a pole have to carry just one clump of grapes? This is extraordinary. They see what God promised. They see the beautiful land. It flows with milk and honey. It's got everything you've ever dreamed of, everything you want. It's got it all. in abundance like you've never seen before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. I've heard that saying a few times. You know, and then look at this. There's always that pause after it flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now that is a believer. Look at what's in front of us. Look at the promise that God has made. Look at the beauty, the evidence of the land that we see. Yep, they're all there. But I remember what God said. And we can go in right now. And believers enter the promise. Believers receive the promise of God immediately when they really truly believe. And really when they just trust the Lord. You heard in the manifestations just before, trust me, do my word, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be there every step of the way with you. That's what he said to you. You, the individuals that heard those words today. You have things in front of you. You've got obstacles in front of you. You got promises that you have read in the scriptures that you haven't received just yet. You got those promises. Is he a God that will lie? No. See, that's why I wanted to go through this record here. I've done it many a time. But I wanted to go through this record because you got to make this personal. I want to see, because this everybody goes through. The individual who doesn't doubt God, who doesn't falter in their faith, who believes the promise, who believes the God who has promised them certain things, no matter what's in front of them, the circumstance, they just say, "Well, let's go." I want you to know something. There was 12 of them sent out, right? 12. They all had the same circumstance in life. So circumstance really doesn't decide whether you're full of fear or whether you believe. You've all been exposed to the same, to 12 of them. Two of them believed and 10 didn't. But everybody was exposed to the same circumstance. They were all slaves in Egypt. They'd all seen the miracles. They're standing there. They all searched the land. They all saw the grapes. And all of them saw the evidence. With the grapes, the fruit, the land of milk and honey, the promise that God had made. They saw that. So it's not the evidence that decides whether you're full of fear and don't believe or whether you're full of faith. That doesn't decide either. See what happens here in verse 31. And the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now, Let me just remind you of something. Go to Exodus here for a second, 23. Keep your finger there. Go to Exodus 23. And verse 28. See, if you don't remember what God says, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. God told them this, "And I will send the hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. And I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee." So God told them, not only are they going to go in, he just told them, go look and see what it looks like. Go get the evidence. I want you to see this thing. Caleb remembered what God said. They got lots of people. They got strong cities, but they ain't got hornets. And you know bugs will chase the strongest guy right out of the neighborhood. See, Caleb remembered. Joshua remembered what God had said. These other folks, no. See, believers are God-reliant. They believe what God says, they believe his promises, and they keep it in their head and heart. Unbelievers are self-reliant. I got to do all this. It's on me. Now, that'll bum you out. God's not going to be the powerful one. I mean, we're talking about people that just saw great things, right? We're not talking about years ago. We're talking about a couple of months ago. They came out of Egypt. This is human nature at work. And you got to decide where you're at with this in your head. Each one of us has to confront our own heart and mind. What have you read? You know it's true because you know the Bible's true. You wouldn't be sitting here in this particular meeting if you didn't. You wouldn't have taken the time to come. Are you just a sinner? Yeah, I know it's true, but I don't know if it's for me. It's a little hard. I ain't been able to get there. You know, I've been praying, and I'm tired. No. See, verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." Do you ever see, now, do you ever notice this, that unbelievers and negative people, I'm talking about, you've all met them. Some days you've been there. All right? Are we blowing this thing out of proportion a little bit? Are we exaggerating? Are we making sure that we're making our point? This land will swallow you up. It's just going to open up and you're done. Disappeared. All of a sudden you and Johnny are walking down the street. Johnny's gone. Ridiculous, isn't it? But this, you hang out with them and go, oh man, you know, I've been down, I've been to that store. It's not a really good store. You know, you got to watch yourself in that store. They got a lot of, you know, be careful. And so worried about everything. Or watch the guys that are hanging out in the corner. You gotta keep an eye on them. You ever meet people that have been so full of afraid that they don't even leave their home? What has God promised you? See, I got a dozen stories in my head of people that I saw growing up. One woman who lived above my grandmother, Mrs. Love was her name. God bless her. How do you come up with a name like that? Mrs. Love, little old lady. And she never left her apartment for 8 or 9 years because she was afraid to walk on the street. Now, my grandma, same age, walking all over the place, going to the stores. No, it's dangerous out there. She talked herself into this because that was not a bad neighborhood. She talked herself into it. She exaggerated the lie so much that she was just frightened and had to believe it. And she put herself in prison for 9 years and asked the little boy next door to go shopping for her. You do this to yourself. And it don't take much, as we're looking. It doesn't take much to do this to yourself. All you have to do is believe somebody else's lie. And then it blows up. You ever hear that on the news? Oh, it's gonna rain. It's coming. Be careful. Be careful out there. We're gonna float away. I remember watching the one guy on the news. It's hysterical. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. But you can't trust these people, right? You can't, because they got the guy on News 12. He's standing there, and the wind's blowing, and he's got the umbrella cooking, and he's standing there. It's like he's standing against it, and two little girls walk by like nothing's happening. Just messed up his whole act. Yeah, the wind's blowing. Okay. The rain's falling. You're going to get wet. Wear a raincoat. Get an umbrella. No, it's going to be the storm. And then when there is a real storm, nobody believes them. Because they've lied so much. You know, they make it a joke, but it's no joke. Because once you've lied to me, I can't trust you. Now, this I say to you, God's never lied to you. Your father's never lied to you. He is not a man that he should lie. He's given you promises, he's given you truths, and you can take them to the bank. And he will back up his word because he is Lord. But what you do between your ears, you want to magnify the negative? Go ahead. We got lots of negatives in this world. You want to magnify them to the end that you're paralyzed? I wouldn't. I would magnify the promise of God in your heart. So that the negatives that you deal with, you just walk through them. We all got stuff we got to deal with. We're all getting old. We all got stuff. Some of it's natural. Some of it's made up. Some of it other people put upon you. But you got the promises. So, and then they said to them, that land eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They're all like, who's one of those big guys? Shaq. There's a whole country of men that are as big as Shaq. That would be different. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight, as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight. They got this thing so much. Have you ever seen anybody? Now, Shaq's a big man, right? He's one of the biggest that I know. I'm sure that there are people who can compete with him. But if you walk up to a guy that's twice your size, do you feel like a grasshopper or just shorter? I mean, you're just shorter, that's all. You be pleasant. He's pleasant. Shake hands. There's a whole country. And I see myself as a grasshopper when I'm there. So you're talking yourself into this? You're a grasshopper? The giants are out there? The giants are out there? And you're done. You want to talk about exaggeration? But have you ever seen people do it? How many? You ever seen anybody do it? Well, go ahead. You can go that way too. You can. Oh, yeah, you can, Maria. Everybody can. That's the point that God's making here. Every single soul can be tempted to do this. Why does... Well, let's ask the question. So, what's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever here? I know I could read the rest of the record because when I should. Let's do this first. So in 14, so you know what happens when people are negative and you get around these kind of people? They make everybody else crazy. They make everybody else full of fear. You're hanging around with somebody who's got complete unbelief and totally full of fear, they will make other people full of fear, because it says in 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. A million people. Ten men come out, give an evil report. We can't do it. We are grasshoppers. There's no point. There's no way you can go into the promised land. The land will eat you up and you will die. And the people bought it. You give people a chance to deal with between the positive and the negative, between faith and fear, they almost always pick fear. People are sheep. They love bondage. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. That's the other thing they do, is they complain against the good guy. They complain against, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? God brought us out here to die. You want, this is a snowball rolling down to hell and picking up velocity. And therefore, it said, therefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. And that where is it better for us to return to Egypt? They love bondage. They love it. It's better to go back to Egypt, make bricks without straw, get whipped. See, that's the other characteristic of people with fear, is that they'll be very complacent. I don't want to change anything. I want to go back to where I was. I'm content to sit in my apartment and let somebody go to the store for me. I'll sit here for years because I'm too afraid to change it. I'm too afraid to walk out. You know, it's a hard thing. When I was a young guy, I'd go from job to job to job. Sometimes I'd get fired. Sometimes I just had a better opportunity. First couple of jobs, I got fired. That's a devastating thing to get fired, right? And it was justly deserved. I mean, I wasn't any good at it. So you live and learn, and all of a sudden you're making money, and now you're not making money. So you got to decide, oh, I got to show up on time, and I got to do the work that he wants me to do. So you get another job. You do a little bit better. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it don't. But, you know, the transition between anything is a little stressful. I mean, you walk in, are they going to take me? Do they want me? Am I going to get this client? Am I going to make this sale? This is all stress, right? Is this class going to like me? Thinking about my teachers. Is this doctor any good? I mean, I walk in, guy wants to, I got to get surgery done on my eyes, right? Now, he thinks this is like putting together a ham sandwich. He's done this 25 times today. All right? I only got two of these things. I'm concerned. You've been doing this like, this no big deal. This is a big deal. Just depends on your perspective, right? But unless you grab your head, you can go blind, or you can get the surgery. And there are people who will go blind. There are people who will suffer until they can't deal with anything anymore and then get it fixed. You know? But the people, they bought this thing. They're going to turn against Moses. They're turning against God. They're ready to kill Moses. They're going down a rat hole. And they're going fast. And the only thing that stops them is the glory of God shows up in the tabernacle. And God said to Moses, how long am I going to deal with these people? But I just want you to see, what's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever? See, the believer doesn't forget the promises of God. The believer remembers and is thankful for the deliverance, for the miracles that they have just seen, the great plagues that have just come upon them. They've watched the Red Sea open up. They watched the Egyptian army die. They watched all of this just 30 days ago, maybe 2 months ago, because they added 40 days to look out the land. 40 days. And they forgot. The believers never forgot. The believers heard Moses say, the Lord will send the hornets out before us and we'll take out a section of land at a time. And you know what? Because I don't want the land to go back to nature. You know, we all want land to go back to nature. We think that that's a good thing, right? No, it ain't. It's not worth nothing. If it's not producing anything, it's not producing anything. God said, I don't want the beasts of the fields coming encroaching on the land. I don't want the thing to go fallow. So I'll send, there's a million of you, the hornets will take care of business and just take care of a section. He named three bunches of people. We'll take care of that section. When you need more, we'll send out more hornets later on. And you won't have to even fight for this. God told them, but they reject the truth. They rejected the promise, and they have worked themselves up, these unbelievers, to the point where they're going to kill Moses. They want to return back to bondage. And they want to go back to slavery after all they have seen over 2 months. Let's give them three. Do you remember the promises that God has made to you? Do you remember the prayers that He's answered? Do you remember the miracles that you have seen? Do you keep in your heart those things that God has done? See, that's really what it comes down to. See, Psalm 100, we sing this song so nicely often. And in Psalm 100, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now we got Thanksgiving coming up soon, right? One of my favorite holidays. Just sit around and enjoy the family and eat. My favorite things. But really, when you enter and you wake up in the morning and you're thankful unto Him, when you're praising Him, you know what you're doing when you do that every day? You're reminding yourself of everything that God has done. You're not forgetting the promises. You're not forgetting the blessings. You're keeping God in front of you. You're God reliant. You're looking to Him, you're praising Him, you're thanking Him, you're keeping Him in front. When you didn't thank Him, you said, oh God, I got to do this job. Don't forget about the fact that the job puts food on your table. Oh man, I got to go to work again today. Wasn't this the job you prayed for a couple of months ago? You can all relate to that. Oh, yeah, I wanted this promotion. Yeah, it came with a lot more work. I wanted my own business. Yeah, you got to keep the books, too. Believers, keep God in front, and you do this with praise and thanksgiving. You wake up in the morning and you know that God is with you. Your Father is with you. He never leaves you. Caleb and Joshua knew, if the Lord be with us, we're well able to overcome this. No matter what goes on in your life, if the Lord is with you and you know that, then you're well able to overcome it. And by the way, miracles don't happen unless there's craziness and tragedy. You don't need a miracle if everything is going smooth. Go to Psalm 95. Psalm Psalm 95, verse 3. For Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. And he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, Yahweh, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, and his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, he is your shepherd. You are his people. He will lead you, guide you, protect you, everything, if you will hear his voice. It's always an if. I've seen a lot better men than me through my lifetime that have folded the towel and walked away. Many of them are the ones who taught me and who I admired for their faith. And I've seen them fold, just like the children of Israel. So that's why I never say, I can't go there. That's why I never say, I'll always stand. Because I need God to help me make it through tomorrow. This boy can't make it on his own. You got to be God-reliant. If the Lord wills, I'll be here tomorrow. And if not, I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord face to face. No sweat. I got the promise. Psalm 103. Verses we love. See, the believers, they bless Yahweh, O my soul. And all that is within me, I bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget. You know, maybe sometime you sit down. I do this when I'm having a self-pity party. Yeah, we all do that, right? Every one of us, we're human beings. Oh, if this only would have happened, if that only would have happened, if I only would have got that job or this or that, or if the kids only would have listened. When you got one of those going on, sit down, take a piece of paper, pencil, pen, whatever you like, but do it. And write down all the things that God has done for you. All the prayers that he has answered. All of the miracles that he has done. You write them down and you keep writing. Until so that you don't forget everything that he has done. You know, I realize that I have forgotten some of the things that God has done for me, major things, when I was younger in the Word. And then I think back at that, man, I haven't thought about that in years. I forgot it. Write it down. Pick it up and read it once in a while, especially when you decide to go to that party. Nobody else is there. Just you, your little pity. You just sit there in your own little pile of pity and take it out and read it. Smack yourself around, will you? Take responsibility for your mind and make it track. Make it track. Don't let it imprison you. You demand that you believe the truth, the promises. You demand to praise the Lord. You demand, just like David did, I think we're going to die here. I don't know why we're here, Lord, but I'm going to praise your holy name. I'm going to keep your name before my face, and I will boldly proclaim it. And David's in a battle. He thinks he's going to die. But that's what I'm going to do. Guess what? He didn't die. He thought he was, and he was a soldier. He would have known. But instead, he just praised the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. See, the unbelievers, they forget. They forget what God has done. And it don't matter that those miracles, for them, it didn't matter that those miracles were only months ago. I mean, we're talking about stuff that you and I have never seen. You would think that this would be impregnated on my mind, that I'd never forget that. The opening of the Red Sea, walking across on dry land. The plagues of Egypt. You know, darkness so that you can't even see the hand in front of your face. And all the unbelievers, but Goshen, it had light. Watch the power of God and forget it. And the human beings, just like you and me, you ain't no better, no worse. Judas. Let's pick Judas. Walked with Jesus. Saw the miracles. Heard the word preached. Became a thief because he held the bag. He stole from the Lord and from the other guys, his brothers. And then sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Just picture it, 30 quarters. He was with them. And the devil entered his heart. How about Titus? He left Paul. Couldn't find him. How about Apollos? He went to Corinth and he says, well, Apollos was coming, but it wasn't his mind to come. He decided not to come. And guess what? You never hear from him again. You go into the wilderness for whatever reason, you're going to go there 40 years until you drop dead and rot there. And God brought the believers out. They had to endure all the rest of the unbelievers. You know, if the family's going to hell and you're the only believer in the family, well, then be the only believer in the family. You're going to have to go through stuff. I can't help you. I mean, sometimes families are just, you can't divorce them. But that don't mean you have to go down the chute with them. You ought to be the light in the room. You ought to be the salt in the room. You ought to be the one walking in the power of God. You ought to be the one witnessing the truth. You ought to be the one fighting for the Lord. In Colossians, I told you to go to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. See, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything in your life. You know, Proverbs chapter, you know, you want to walk with God in everything. You want to be in singing in your heart. You know what we sing? We sing because we love. We're all such great singers. No. We sing because it fills our heart. We sing because I'm standing on the promises of Christ my Lord. I am bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. I can hum that. I can bring it to mind. I can keep my mind towards my God. Keep the promises that are in the scriptures towards my Lord. I can be praising him and thanking him and loving him. See, and whatsoever I do in word or deed, I do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Anything I've ever had to do in my life, any privilege I've ever had, God has given me the blessing of doing. You know, my family, the church, the people I know, God gives me, should have been dead a long time ago, many, many times. Every day is a gift. Every day is one I get to walk with him, and I get to do what I do. And if I'm doing it right, then I am doing everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto his name. Everything. See, that's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer remembers and is thankful. The unbeliever forgets and decides to believe lies and lets them get out of control. Just lets them exaggerate themselves until they are in the bondage. That's the believer and the unbeliever. See, Abraham, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, every promise of God, every single one is yea and amen. It's not maybe, could be, a little bit. No, it is absolutely positive, affirmative. And it is coming to pass. Every one of his promises. Abraham walked out of his father's house. He's 75 years old. I'm starting to feel like what that means, okay? There ain't no way I want to start off brand new. New house, new place, new ground, new everything at this stage of my life. Abraham, God said, get up and go. He got up and went. Now, maybe you tell me, well, Abraham was in better shape than me. That's more than likely. But he was still halfway there or more to dying. Nobody wants to start brand new. But he was so obedient. God said, go, he went. God said, every place you put your foot on, I'm going to give to you. Yet he never owned a piece of the ground in his lifetime. But he believed that he would inherit the earth. He believed that he and his seed would inherit the whole thing. He lived in a tent. You know, there was better building materials than tents back then, you know. But he lived in a tent so that he could go from one place to the next, wherever the Lord told him. He believed to have Isaac, him and Sarah. He believed to have the promise when they were old. Look at, we'll close here in Romans chapter 4. What did they have that was special? He had the promise of God. He had the word in his heart that God spoke in his ears. And you know what? You have the promises and the blessings that God spoke in your ears when you heard those manifestations and when you've heard the scripture here taught today. It's up to you to choose to do with it what you will. You can forget all about it in 12 hours. That's your, it's up to us. Or you can go back home, read and pray and praise and thank and think. And he will bring all kinds of things to your remembrance, not just today. In Romans chapter 4, it says in verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. Abraham believed the God that could raise the dead. You know what? We believe the God who can raise the dead. He believed that. And he called those things which be not. They weren't happening yet, as though they were. He talked like it's already going on. I'm going to inherit the land. He's walking around. He don't own nothing. But I own it. God's going to give it to me. And against who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. To that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, confidence and trust in what God had said, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, what God has promised you, you have to decide if he is able to perform it. You have to decide to be strong. You know, they told those 12 guys, be strong and of a good courage. Faith takes courage. Faith doesn't just show up. Faith takes courage. You have to be so confident. You have to have so much trust that you're willing to see these things that are yours and confess them and believe them before you ever receive them. You have to have the courage of your conviction to stand down every lie that comes your way. You know, in the first century church, after when they started to get persecuted, that first prayer that they prayed, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we can hold forth your word. They confront, they didn't ignore that they were being threatened. Oh, this is for real. They just confronted it and gave it to God. You see this? Do you see this? And they lifted it to God. And they asked for boldness. They asked for more boldness to speak, and that signs and wonders would be done. There's the difference. They're threatening us. Shoo, out the. I ain't saying nothing no more. I'm behind closed doors. No, don't choose. It takes guts. Takes guts. Takes courage. I love you all. That's what I wanted to share with you. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your great grace and tender mercies. Thank you for everyone, Father, and watch over them and take care of them. And enable us, Father, to do your work, to do your word. Grant to us, Father, boldness, courage, that no matter what we face in our life, that we can face it knowing that you're right there. And that you're always with us and you never forsake us. And drive it in our soul, Father, because we are human beings and we are weak. So I pray for these things, Father. I thank you for your love and kindness and tender mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.